TalkZone.com.
Now, TalkZone presents the Youth Sports Fan Forum with your host, the coach, John Cone. This is the show that covers all topics relating to the wonderful world of sports our kids play. Here's your host for the Youth Sports Fan Forum, the coach, John Cone.
And we do welcome you to the Youth Sports Fan Forum. Jordan Burnfield and the coach are with you right up until 12 o'clock. That would be CT Central Time, JB. We just got finished doing a regular show we do. It's called Two Guys and a Mic, a little sports talk show, if we could plug that one. And then we do that every Monday through Friday. And then now every Thursday at 11 o'clock at this time, we do a show centered strictly on youth sports. I don't know how many youth sports shows there are out there.
I don't know. We threw the two guys out. We threw the mic out. And then we brought in us from the same studio in the same place to do a different show.
Yeah, and something brand new. Now, I'm assuming that I got to check with our fine producer, David Olson, who also does our Two Guys at a Mic show, but webcasting. We are being seen right now. It's a very scary thought.
We are.
See, I always liked radio because, you know, I could kind of theater of the mind, do my own thing. The whole webcasting thing, when I first heard about, very exciting, you know, that people can see us, but I don't know. A little weird.
I have no problem with it. I like it. I think that it's good that people can do that.
You're a young, telegenetic guy. Used to the line. I'm an old school radio guy. Long time radio guy. The whole webcast thing is going to throw off my game. I don't know if my, I got to have a makeup person. I don't know if we have a makeup person and I got to start shaving.
Well, we have the two guys and the mic makeup people. They could probably stay on and do double duty for Youth Sports Fan Forum.
I would hope so.
I would think that they could.
I would hope so. But so anyway, that's something new. Webcasting, you know. Now, if people don't like what they see, David, is there like a button you can still hear the show but turn us off?
You could just put your hand over the screen so that you can't see us anymore.
The old-fashioned way.
Yeah,
huh?
You could put a little screen over your computer screen so that you can't see us.
Use your judgment. We may have many of our regular listeners tuning in, you know, expecting to hear the show, and all of a sudden, right there on the smack of the screen, ah! Holy mackerel, it's a coach in the... I know his picture
on the
website.
That's what they do when they see
good.
You. Huh? When they see me, they wince. When they see you, they scream.
Stop it. You're a good-looking man. By the way, the picture up on the web page. We do have a web page if you want to check it out, ysfanforum.com. People can make comments there, show suggestions. It's all about youth sport, not high school sports. It's not what we're about. I love high school sports. I'm a huge fan.
You are. You are probably the biggest high school sports fan I've ever met.
Thank you very much. But there's lots of high school sports shows out there, blogs, articles, magazines. The high school sports scene, I don't know if it's getting saturated, but it's getting well publicized. This show, strictly, we're going kindergarten to eighth grade. Or sadly enough, at this point, youth sports, you could go pre-kindergarten.
Fetus.
Huh? Hasn't gotten that bad yet.
Embryo.
Hasn't gotten that bad yet. They don't have like pre-fetal youth baseball.
They don't?
But we're getting close to that.
Isn't there like a uterine league?
Not yet.
There's not. We're
not
like
yet. But
little,
it keeps...
like what if there's twins in a uterus? Couldn't they start their own league within the womb?
Hey, talk to Mr. Marinovich. they tried to do that 6 months or about 2 months after conception, I think. But that's one of, we'll deal with all the different issues here in youth sports. And again, we don't want to be too scientific here. Want to keep the show light. Want to hear from you, the listeners, 888-463-6748. Funny stories that have happened, dramatic stories, great comeback stories, sad stories, controversial suggestions. We'll try to offer some help if we can't answer it. We'll find someone that can. So we don't want to be too sterile.
Something like that.
Yeah, we want to, the youth sports are fun. We want the show to be fun. So dial it up. You can also email us at ysfanforum.com. Any of your thoughts, any of your suggestions. But, you know, one of the topics right off the bat is how young do we go? And right now, I'll just pick out two sports. And
that just sounds like such a, that's a loaded question. How young do we go?
Yeah, let's keep it clean.
Yeah.
And I'm sure
sorry, my mind is in the gutter.
This could apply to a lot of other sports, but right now there's an ongoing battle. Correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, 888-463-6748, between soccer and baseball. Because the seasons go on at the same time. And, you know, it used to be like you start out at age 8, which is pretty young. And then, just for example, the baseball organization in a particular town started offering it at age 7. All of a sudden, the kids are getting hooked into baseball more than soccer. Soccer goes down to 7. Soccer says, hey, it worked for baseball. 2 years down the road, they say that we're offering it now to 6 years old.
Okay. And then baseball says, well, you know what? They make more money. You could make more money on the T-ball program than any other program. Less on officials, less on equipment. You charge the kids 50, 60, 70 bucks. You put 15 kids on a team and you make a lot of money. So it becomes a moneymaker for the organization too. I'm not trying to imply that people that run U Sports for the most part are in it for the money. You know, 90% of the people, 95% of the people are well-meaning and doing it.
I don't know about that. I hope that they are.
Oh, I think so.
But I think that there are some people that are looking to make some buck.
Well,
I mean, I think that there are some organizations. Listen, they're providing a nice thing for kids. But I think that it's more than just for the love of the game. I think it's also to make money.
There's two different areas.
I mean, sadly, I think everything is about making money.
You're probably right, but there's kind of two different avenues. One, we're talking the local community, baseball, soccer, hockey, football, swimming, tennis association, the local community.
Right.
I don't think too many of them primarily are looking to make money. Now,
well, I mean, but they can get sponsorships now. I mean, when I played, there were no sponsors on the uniforms. There were no sponsors of any kind on anything. You mm-hmm. strictly paid your fee to play, and that was it. And then you paid, you know, for uniforms.
By the way, speaking of sponsors on uniforms, one of the greatest scenes in all of moviedom, in the Bad News Bears, the original, when Walter Matthau's teams comes out with the Chico's Bail Bond sponsors.
Yes, I do remember watching that. Yes, but I mean that's the truth though of youth sports now. I think you look at around our area here, Coach. I see a lot of kids walk into a local fast food joint in the middle of the summer, and they're wearing their Dear Frank's jersey or their Michael's hot dogs jersey
Coach leaves and you're.
Skyat Terrace Funeral Home.
Right. I mean, listen, I think it's really nice that the local businesses are willing to sponsor these youth teams. But there is money to be made by all these organizations.
But you're implying that the local community baseball association is trying to make money and paying themselves salary? Or are they just trying to make money so that maybe they can build up the program a little bit more?
Well, I mean, I think they're trying to build
up.
Well, no,
they're not pocketing the money. You're not suggesting that. I said in 95% of the cases.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's some money to be pocketed, but I think it's more for the, obviously to improve the organization, to improve the community and things like that. But I do think that there are people in that for money. And I'm not saying that it's necessarily the best intentioned, but I think that everybody's in everything for money.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you on that. I think the people are well-meaning. Sometimes they don't do the right thing and they get overzealous, many of our hockey, basketball, football, soccer directors, but I think their heart is in the right place. I think very, very few are in it, to somehow find a way to get in their pocketbook. No.
One thing I would say, though, is that in hockey especially, that is a very expensive sport.
Oh, yes.
To put on a league, to have, I mean, the pads,
renting
the rinks,
ice time.
Right. You have to rent their ice time. But then after you get the ice time, I mean, the kids all need the pads and the equipment, and that is a very expensive sport to play. I think it actually says a lot about who our professional athletes are in hockey, because their families, I mean, you think about many of the kids, their families had some money growing up because they were able to provide their kids with the, you know, ice time fees and all the equipment necessary to excel in their particular sport. Mm-hmm. And when you look at basketball, kids don't need anything. They just need shorts and a t-shirt. They can go out there and they can, the gyms are all there. All they need is a basketball.
Summertime, fall, spring, you can play outdoors.
Right, but I mean, you look at youth sports and why certain groups of people are in it versus not in it in each particular sport. I think a lot of times it has to do with the money that it costs in youth sports to get the kids involved.
Yeah, well, sadly, money is a part of it. It's the Youth Sports Fan Forum here. Brand new show on thetalkzone.com. Our phone number, if you want to join us, 888-463-6748. We are taking emails at ysfanforum@aol.com. Our website, you want to join the fan page, you can make comments there too, ysfanforum.com. Just to complete the thought, though, Jordan, beyond the regular local community associations, what have popped up so much in the last 5 to 10 years, not so much prior to the 10, it's really a fairly recent thing, the last decade, and that is the private companies. Now, they are out primarily to make money. It's somebody's business.
You mean like the...
It can be personal training. It can be offering sports programs. It can be clinics. It can be travel
teams.
What's
that one company called?
Well, locally around here, you've got groups like RMG. You've got groups like High Five.
High Five,
Joy
yeah.
of the Game, Joy Full
the game.
Package. And they're all well-run groups.
Right. That's what
people.
I was thinking of, yeah.
But those, separate from the Deerfield Association Baseball, separate from the Montini Youth Hockey Association, those are businesses, and I don't know if I use the word sadly, but, well, I use the will use the word sad. Sadly, making money is one of the priorities, and hopefully still giving some quality programming to kids. So there's kind of two separate areas.
See,
the private companies and the baseball and the youth associations.
I don't think there's anything wrong with a private company trying to make money with that. I mean, what they're doing is, listen, they're providing a service just like anybody else. They're trying to make your kids better at athletics, and they need to make money. I mean, listen, they need to support themselves. And you know what? I really don't think that there's anything wrong with that from those companies. Because, listen, I mean, when I was growing up, I went to North Shore Baseball Academy and took pitching and hitting lessons. And before that, I went to the 41 Sports Club and did that. And you know, obviously, I'm not in athletics now in my career, but, you know, I was a better high school baseball player because of those things. And I was fortunate enough that my parents were willing to pay for me to be in those things mm-hmm. so that I could get better. And I don't have a problem with those companies making money off that. I mean, one of my very close friends, in fact, is somebody who was a minor league ball player who had a cup of coffee in the major leagues, who taught at these clinics as part-time work on the off season. And he and I became very close friends through this. And so I have no problem with these companies. I think that they may put that the problem, to be honest with you, Coach, with the companies is not the companies themselves. It's the parents that put too much pressure on their kids to be overly involved in these things because, you know, they feel like, oh, well, I'm paying for little Johnny to be in full package athletics for 100 hours a week of training. He's got to be this and this and this on the court or on the field or whatever it is. That's where the problem is. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with the kids if they want to in doing these private things.
But a lot of times some of the private companies will prey on the fact that the parents want to give their kids an edge. And the parents are then sometimes dishing out the money and sometimes not maybe getting the extra services that they might or should be getting for the money. I'm not saying that well. And again, most of the people in it are in it for the right reasons. But I think sometimes parents just get caught up into it, trying to give their kid an edge. One thing feeds on another. One money thing, you know, $20 to $50 to this travel team, $100 to the next travel team, $500 to the next travel team, $1,000. You can get caught up sometimes in the spider web that is getting ahead at the youth sport level.
I think you're right, but I think that it's more, I think that's the fault of the parents, though. I mean, if I have a business and I know that there's a bunch of parents out there who are nuts about giving their kid an edge, why wouldn't I cater to that? Why wouldn't I advertise to that? That's capitalism to me. I mean, it's just, the biggest problem in youth sports a lot of times is that parents are very pleased to be, or that they live vicariously through their kids, and they want, you know, little Johnny to be the next Kobe Bryant or the next, you know, A-Rod, or, well, maybe not the best example since he's a steroid guy. But, you know, my point is that you want your kid to be the next big superstar athlete. And so if I'm a company that provides that service and I have parents who are a little nuts, you know, maybe and they are a little nuts.
Is there a class for that? They have a little in their brochure?
Yes.
Parents that are a little nuts.
Yes.
Every Thursday from 7 to 8. We'll have a meeting of the parents that are, we call it the Little Nuts class.
Yes.
A Little Nuts About Youth Sports.
Right. And listen.
$45 for three sessions.
I'm all for the passion. That's why people love youth sports.
Yeah.
The kids love it. They play hard. It's about having fun. I get all that. But mm-hmm. if I'm a company that provides this service and I realize that there's a large faction of parents that are a little overzealous, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with them taking advantage of that, to be honest with you.
You know. Capitalism, taking advantage, you just use the word, I do think there's something wrong. If you're going to take advantage.
It's the fault of the parents to not have more you know, intestinal fortitude to keep their kids away from doing too much.
Right.
I mean, that's the parents' fault. Listen, any company can advertise what they want to advertise. It's up to a parent to make the right decision for their kids. If they don't make the right decision for their kids, that's their fault.
All right, the right decision right now is we got to take a quick break. Jordan Burnfield joining myself, the coach here, on the Youth Sports Fan Forum.
I'm a veteran of this show now, I think.
New show here on thetalkzone.com. And coming up in just a little bit, we have one of the directors. I think he's the marketing consultant for one of the top organizations out there. It's called Positive Coaching Alliance, a group that is out there spreading the truth with coaches about proper way to teach kids, and really spreading a great message about youth sports. So David Jacobson from Positive Coaching.
Tired of wearing shoes that look.
Positive Coaching Alliance is going to be joining us in just a little bit. We'll take a quick break. 888-463-6748 is our phone number. Love to hear from you if you want to check in, if you want to email us with your comments, agree, disagree, or anywhere in the vast in between. YSFan4AOL.com. Back in about 20.
The phone lines are open on the Youth Sports Fan Forum. 888-GO-FOR-IT. Once again, here's your host, the coach, John Cone, on TalkZone.com.
This whole webcasting thing is killing me here. You know, I had my apple during the break. Now I have to chew faster. And also, I'm not sure where the camera is, but I don't know how telegenetic a half-eaten apple is. I almost feel like I should hide the apple.
Well, I mean, chewing faster, does that really make a difference? Because they could have heard you chew anyway.
Well, but now I don't care about the hearing. That doesn't bother me. People can actually see it.
Yeah.
And I don't know how, you know, I'm not sure that's what people want to be tuning into. So now I almost feel like I got to hide the apple. The whole webcasting thing's throwing my game.
Well, it's actually good for me because normally I have to watch you eat the apple.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me.
I know, but now if you're worried about other people watching you eat the apple, then by default I don't have to watch you eat the apple anymore.
Thank you very much. For transcripts of today's show, you can write us here at thetalkzone.com. And we'll give the address out a little bit later. Sipping coffee is not so bad, though, right?
No, I don't think there's a
problem with that. I need my nice cup of coffee.
I think you can have your coffee. You can listen. The webcast is about them getting to watch us. I don't think it needs to create any more formality.
I don't like to be watched. I like to be heard. I don't like to be watched.
Okay, but I think people don't mind if you drink coffee or you have an apple or. You know, okay. Because they're expecting that. The beauty of radio on TV is that it is a informal viewing experience. You don't have to worry about all that stuff. I mean, when you watch radio shows on TV, the guys aren't in suits. They're in, you know, jeans and a shirt, you know, and they're just having fun and they're hanging out. And that's what we're here to do.
Okay.
Right?
Thank you, psychologist Jordan Burnfield.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Wonderful job of calming my nerves. Thank you very much. Our first webcast show.
I'm here for you, Coach.
Thank you very much. That both pleases me and it scares me, a little bit of both. 888-463-6748. Our phone lines are open. Any of your comments, thoughts on the world of youth sports, everything from the 4 to 5 year old sports all the way up to the 8th grade, everything from house league up to the competitive traveling teams, everything from the fans to the coaching to the officiating administration. 1 hour once a week, every Thursday here at 11 o'clock, we deal with the wonderful world of youth sports. And we can talk about some of the problems, but it is a great thing. It's fun. It's energetic. It's spirited. I've always said, and this applies not just to youth sports at any level, Jordan, the thing that has always drawn me to sports is where else in life? Where else in life do you get kids, teenagers, 20-somethings, grown people, seniors, screaming, jumping, cheering, crying? The raw emotion of sport is something that has always drawn me to it from a very young age. It's one of the few places in life where we get that, and sports can bring that to you.
They can, absolutely. And I think that it's a very nice experience for a lot of people to watch somebody in their family or somebody that they're friends with at a young age able to participate in something like this. Mm-hmm. Because sports take on such an event-type atmosphere. You know, it's not just, you know, little Billy has soccer practice. It's, you know, he has a game. It's a game that people can come out and watch, and people can watch them perform. And sports obviously teach a lot of life lessons and you know, help shape kids in terms of their life experiences. I mean, for me, youth sports is a big part of my childhood experience. And so I think that, you know, having – I just remember when I played that it was really important to me that my family was there to support me and watch the games. Mm-hmm. And it always made me play a little bit harder when I knew that more and more people were going to be there. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, it's one of those things where it's a really nice thing that families can get behind it and root for something where it truly is for the love of the game, and it's not mm-hmm. for, you know, the money and all that aspect, so most of the time.
We'll talk about some of the negatives, but the point is a lot more positives when it comes to sports and youth sports in particular. In a second, I want to throw out a question to our youth basketball coaches out there, because I saw a game last night that my son was involved in, and I saw, you know, we want to deal with practical situations here, not so much theory, but actual practicality where there's a little bit of problem in the games. I want to throw that out to the youth basketball coaches out there. But real quick before that, before the break, we were talking about the financial commitment and all the youth sports training programs. And I just wanted to make the point, even though we don't talk high school sports here on the show, one of the adjuncts or advents or one of the things that has come out of the youth sports intensity of late is it makes the high school coach's job much, much more difficult. And the reason is because back in my time, you know, you'd try out for the high school team and, all right, you know, you're disappointed if you don't make the team. It was still a big thing, but now these kids are coming into high school with parents that have invested not only an unbelievable amount of money over the years, but also via traveling around on the weekends. Hotel rooms and the travel times and going from gym to gym to gym. I'm using basketball as an example. You can put in your own sport. The parents and the kids are much more invested. So when the high school coaches now, when a certain kid doesn't get to play, or God forbid he makes the freshman team but doesn't make the sophomore team, there's a lot more pressure on the high school coaches because of the investment. Time, energy, and financially, the parents and kids have put into it. It puts a lot more pressure on the high school coach.
It does, but I mean, that's the way it goes, in my opinion. You know, when I mean, listen.
I didn't say it's correctable, but it's
right. I mean,
it's worth noting.
When I was growing up, you know, I know that my parents invested plenty of money in me in terms of, you know, taking lessons and, you know, playing in baseball tournaments, you know, that weren't around here and all that sort of thing. And that was certainly an investment that they had to make. And when I was in high school, I pitched. And when I didn't pitch, I didn't play every game. You know, I was sort of like a major league pitcher. You know, I'd pitch my game. And then after that, I was probably on the bench because mm-hmm. I was sort of the backup first baseman.
At what age? In high school?
In high school. Okay. So, I mean, I would pitch once every three or four games. So I would get a chance to play at least once a week and, you know, have a substantial role in the game that I got to play, obviously by being the starting pitcher. But I didn't get to play in every game that I played.
Right.
And so, you know, my parents never complained about that because that's how it was. I just, you know, the kid who was the first baseman on our team was a better athlete than I was.
But if you
he was a better player than I was, and they made that investment.
If you paid for the kid to have batting lessons through 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and now on the varsity team he's pitching, but the other 3 days he's not hitting, it's like, come on.
Well, no.
I know my son can hit. In 8th grade, he batted 632.
Well, okay, I get that. But listen, the coaches, it's their responsibility to make the decision on who his best players are and who isn't.
I fully understand the reality. I'm just trying to explain that it puts more pressure on the coaches because the parents are a lot more invested because of all the years and money they put into it.
Right, you're right. But, I mean, too bad is what I say. Yeah. Listen, too bad. If your kid isn't good enough, then I'm sorry that, you know, that there wasn't enough money and that, or that you paid a lot of money and that you wanted them to be better. But the bottom mm-hmm. line is these coaches, for the most part, are not out to get anyone. I mean, they are out to make their teams win
right.
and to have a good time and to do the best that they can. I mean, as high school coaches, it's their job to put the best team that they can on the field mm-hmm. to represent their school. I mean, it's obviously mm-hmm. not quite as serious as it is in college, but in a lot of high schools, it is okay. as serious. You know, I mean, Texas in high school, that's very serious stuff, whatever mm-hmm. teams you're on. I mean, that
probably
is a huge
part
probably
too serious when it comes to high school football.
Right, it may be, but my point, though, is that these coaches can't yeah. afford to just play right. your son because he spent a lot – right. your parents spent yeah. a lot of money on his lessons.
Yeah. Jimmy, you're playing over Sammy because Jimmy, back in 7th and 8th grade, put a lot more time into
right.
it
too bad.
Than Sammy did.
I mean, yep. I don't want to sound so harsh, but it's a fact of youth sports. It's a fact of high school sports.
It can be harsh. The reality can be harsh in sports. No question about it. All right. Now, one of Twitch topics real quick. Saw a game yesterday. Don't forget, coming up in just a little bit, we're going to have Dave Jacobson from the Positive Coaching Alliance. And anytime you want to check in, we'd love to hear your phone calls on the topics that we're bringing up. Or if you got a question, something that happened that you are in a quandary about, a thought you'd like to say over the air here. It's a new program. We'd love to have people jump on board. Feel free to call up. We are user friendly here. A couple of nice guys like us will be nice and easy on the caller, right?
Absolutely.
Nothing to be afraid of. 888-463-6748. That's our phone number. You can email us at ysfanforum.com. We should mention our outstanding producer, David Olson, who was a tremendous athlete at the highest levels except junior high, high school, college, or pro.
But he was a great athlete back
from
in the day.
From what I heard, fourth grade floor hockey, he could slap shot like nobody.
He was like the Teemu Selanne
of Lockport, Illinois.
Of fourth grade hockey.
Sadly, it ended in the end of fifth grade, but hey, we all have our highlight moments.
You know, in college, some of my friends joined a intramural floor hockey league.
Oh, that's
great.
Floor hockey is one of the most underrated sports.
Oh, it's actually very fun. And the problem was is that I couldn't really play in a lot of the games because I always had to work or I had school or whatever. Yeah. And so I didn't get to go to a lot of the games and play in a lot of the games. Yeah. So they needed me to fill out the roster. So
great sport.
So I joined the team for one game. Maybe I played in three games. But the point was I didn't play in a lot. First game I went, I don't think I'd picked up a hockey stick of any kind in years. Okay, I go out there and I scored a goal in like the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was so excited that I started hot dogging it down the floor. I mean, I was, I was dancing, I was making moves, I was all excited. The next play or the next, shift, so to speak, after the faceoff, the puck came down towards me. I went to go get it and then some guy shoved me against the wall. As if it was a check. And
great,
actually, that's
great sport, floor hockey, one of the most underrated sports around.
It's very fun. And I really deserved a check. I really deserved a stick in the head. But the point that is actually really fun. I mean, if you can get your kids into that, it's great exercise. Really fun.
My first job.
I would play it right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have men's floor hockey leagues.
I would be totally in
very, that. Very, typically they're like 3-on-3 with a goalie.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. I remember a buddy of mine started in a local park district, a men's floor hockey league, and I called him up like the first day after it had started, and he said, I asked him how the first day went, and he said, not well. I think twice the first night they had to call the police in to break up fights.
Really?
So men's floor hockey can get a little bit rough.
What I would like personally is I like to rollerblade, and I would love to be in like some kind of street hockey league, where I could just, because I like the rollerblading aspect of it. I actually think that's a great exercise method, too. I mean, I use that to exercise a lot.
All right, here's the question I had. Getting back now. I saw a youth basketball game yesterday. If we have any youth basketball fans, coaches out there, help me on it. And here's the basic situation. It was a house league, not travel.
Okay.
That's important.
How old are the kids?
This junior high.
Okay.
But I think the same situation, I know the same situation would apply third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade. And a couple of the kids are clearly better than all the other kids.
Okay.
And the better kids are constantly bringing the ball up the court. No press, like most house leagues should be. Last 2 minutes of the game, you can press. Okay, smart rule, right? You got back up half court. So even the weaker kids, when they would get the rebound, would immediately pass to the stronger kids. Same one or two kids would bring the ball up all the time. And they weren't complete ball hogs, the better kids, because they might dribble and try to create something, and then they would pass to the other kid. But the bottom line is, the other kids in the team were hardly ever getting the ball. A little bit. But clearly the one or two kids were dominating the ball. So how do you make
these kids were probably the kids that had grown a little bit and were a lot bigger than everybody
else,
right?
Whatever the reason, clearly.
Yeah.
But in a house league basketball game, is there a rule? Is there a coaching technique? What can you do so that the ball is more evenly distributed? And keep in mind, even though it's house league, the coaches, the volunteer dads, they still want to win. You don't want to throw away the game. It's still competitive. But what can you do so that, these other, first of all, the better kids are probably going to play travel ball anyways. And they're playing a lot of basketball. For the other kids that are hardly ever touching the ball, this is their one game a week. This is their basketball experience. And they're only getting the ball a little bit. And when they tend to get it, they tend to freeze up a little bit. So is there anything the coach can do? Is there a rule that the league can put in? I watched the game. I got a couple suggestions, but it's a, I just thought I'd throw it out there. 888-463-6748. And again, our email, ysfanforum.com. Not that it's a majorly horrible situation, but I was sensitive to it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on teams where that happened, but I think that it's sort of one of those things where it's hard to fix. I mean, you want to have a rule where they have kids having to pass it three times or any of that garbage, because I think that ruins the game.
Uh-huh.
And then you're not playing basketball anymore. I mean, you're playing keep away from the other team so that every – and even if your kid gets a pass every play, is he really that involved if the other kids are shooting every time?
And as soon as he gets the pass, the poor kid gets surrounded and freezes up.
Right. So, I mean, is
that... one rule you could make is no double teams.
You could make it, yeah. That would actually be a fair rule.
And I know many house leagues for youth do that. So that's a good rule. That helps the weaker kid because, geez, you finally get the ball and, you know, they're just not as skilled.
Although, you could argue that if they had no double teams, then those two kids that are stronger than everybody else, that makes it even easier for them to go right to the hole every single time and score.
That's why we got you on the show.
Yeah.
That's why we got you on the show. Good counterpoint to my point and counterpoint.
I made you a counteroffer. Now, let me say this. If I'm on a team where there are two kids that are – that's the thing about junior high sports that really is tough because everybody's growing at different rates, and it's a totally – you know, unbalanced playing field across the board. You have men playing against boys a lot of the time because you have a kid who started growing when he was in fourth grade and he is a giant and he's going up against some kid who hasn't grown a lick yet and he's 4'8" and he just can't, you know, he can't compete with the kid who's 6'2". It just doesn't work.
With hair on his legs.
Right. You cannot compete. And so to me, the problem is that you don't want to have a situation where if I'm on that team, if I'm like the 13-year-old that's grown a lot and I'm dominating the game, and now they're not double-teaming me, I'd want the ball even more because I'm like, listen, I'm just trying to help my team win. I'm trying to be a competitive player. I could score 30 points on the kid that's guarding
me. But those two kids you're talking about also play on travel teams and the school teams. So now my question to you is...
But that's not their fault.
I understand that. My question to you is, what can the coach do? This is the Youth Sports Fan Forum.
Right.
We are here to help. We're the Youth Sports Hospital here. You come in a little bit sick,
substitution.
We try to mend you up. What can the youth sports coach do to make the situation a little bit more fair?
Substitution. That's what I would do. I would make sure that those two kids, if those are the two most dominant players, they have to sit on the bench like everybody else at some point during the game. And in the moments in which those two players are on the bench, you have five players on the floor who might be five of the weaker players on the team, and you let them try to do their best. Somebody's got to shoot. Somebody's got to take those shots. Somebody's got to take the onus on them.
A lot of times what happens, if you sit out both your best players at the same time, ball stolen, layup at the other. Ball stolen, layup at the other. This is reality. This is what I saw last night when a particular team didn't substitute. You know, as a youth sports coach, you got to substitute correctly. And suddenly the group, in theory, you're right, that those five kids that haven't got the ball as much will start to develop a little bit. But unfortunately, one game a week in a house league in the limited time, you don't get that chance. All of a sudden, steal and a layup, and now their body language starts to sink a little bit.
No, that's true. I mean, it's sort of one of those problems that you can't totally correct. I just feel like maybe you have one of them on the floor at all times so that they can sort of distribute a little bit and try to get other kids involved.
The only thing I saw, it's a hard one, we're not talking a major crisis of life, but I feel for the kids when I watch the game. I felt for the kids that weren't getting the ball as much because, again, I preface it by the better players are already playing on their school team and a travel. They're playing lots of basketball. These other kids, this is their one game when they get to put on a uniform and play for their 8 minutes in the first half and 7 minutes in the second half. So I want them to be involved. I want them to enjoy the game. The only thing I could think of, and you encourage your better players. Hey, you tell them that. Look, you guys are on the school team already. You're playing a lot of ball. We need you to score some points, but pass the ball. Get the other guys involved. So you try to encourage your better player. The other thing is, can you as the coach dictate and say, hey, Jimmy, you bring the ball up this time?
I think you can.
Tommy, come on back. You know, and at least let the weaker kid, there's no press. At least let the weaker kid bring the ball up. Now, I had a couple parents sitting next to me and said, well, those kids don't want to bring the ball up because they're going to get it stolen. But at least you have the fun of dribbling the ball up. The spotlight is on you for a brief moment in time. So that's one suggestion I could make to the coach. Don't let the best player, and tell your team, hey, don't automatically, if you get a rebound, don't throw the ball to Bobby. Let's say he's the best player. You can bring it up yourself, Jimmy. So that's one suggestion I could make. At least let the guy bring the ball up to half court and he gets some time in the limelight, if you will.
Yeah. I think that's, I think that's okay.
Yeah.
No, I think it's okay. I think it's good in theory. I think though that you're right, because I think some kids feel intimidated by bringing the ball up in a basketball.
Even if there's no press.
Yes, because I think they know that once they get past half court and once they get past that line, it's about to get taken from them. Listen, I can get with that, because when I was very little, before I mean, I was an okay basketball player when I was a little kid, but when I was very young and I would take the ball up, I was nervous if I knew that there was a kid on the other team who was a lot better than me, who was guarding me, that once I got past that moat in the middle of the floor, that was the end. I was sinking. I was sinking right in.
All right, we're going to take a quick break on the TalkZone.com, hoping to get David Jacobson from the PCA, the Positive Coaching Alliance. JB, Jordan Burnfield, the young kid and the old veteran, the coach, with you here on the Youth Sports Fan Forum. We'll take a quick break back in a minute. Don't you go anywhere.
Sound.
You've discovered TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio. Let's return to more of the Youth Sports Fan Forum on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, the coach, John Cohn.
Oh, yes, indeed. The TalkZone.com, Jordan, 24/7, every day of the week, every hour of the day, different programming in the TalkZone.com. You want to learn how to be a chef, Jordan Burnfield? TalkZone.com's got it for you. You want to learn how to dress properly? The TalkZone.com.
Are you saying that I don't dress well?
We're being webcast right now, believe it or not. I don't think I have to say that. People realize it.
I think I happen to think that my green sweater is very nice looking. You, on the other hand, in your North Shore garb, you know, it's okay. It's okay.
Got to wear my coaching gear today. I got two teams to coach. I don't got a chance to switch after the show.
So, I think I like my sweater, in
all
fact.
Right. All right. But the point is, 24/7, TalkZone.com.
David Olsen's wearing a green sweater, too.
We got stuff for him. He's the producer. He can wear whatever he wants.
I know, but I think we should have coordinated this.
He wears the green much better than you, I will say.
He does many things better than me.
All right. Out to the phone lines we go. It is the Youth Sports Fan Forum. Brand new show here on the TalkZone.com. One of the very, very few shows in the country. Sports talk. That deals specifically with youth sports, the kindergarten through eighth grade, or more specifically, youth sports now down to age 4 and 5 year olds up to eighth grade. And our guest right now is David Jacobson. He works for a fine group called the Positive Coaching Alliance. They're trying to spread the positive word about youth sports. They're doing some great stuff out there. David, how are you, my friend?
Doing very well. Glad to be back with you, John.
Beautiful. Last time you were on with us, it was on the Morning Break radio show. We have switched. Now we're on the internet. But real quick, Dave, where are you calling us from? What fine city?
I am actually at my home office in Foster City, California, about 20 miles south of San Francisco.
Very
and
nice.
About 20 miles north of Positive Coaching Alliance headquarters in Mountain View, California.
Mountain Dew, California? That's the name?
Mountain View.
Oh, Mountain View?
Isn't Mountain View, California? Isn't there something famous in Mountain View, California?
Just the Positive Coaching Alliance headquarters.
Oh, but besides that, I feel, isn't there like some famous company in, or like, isn't Apple near?
On the other side of the freeway from us is the Google headquarters.
Google headquarters. That's what it is. I knew that something was in Mountain View, California, besides the Positive Coaching Alliance.
Well, we're gonna come out and visit you with the snow and the cold and the wind we've had here in Chicago, Dave. Don't be surprised if I come knocking on the Positive Coaching Alliance door as soon as possibly tomorrow.
Well, I would enjoy having you here, and I'll let you know I was back in my hometowns of Skokie and Milwaukee.
Uh-huh.
Over the winter break, over the holidays.
Okay.
So I've got my dose of Midwestern weather, and bring it on, John.
That's all you need. You came here for a week, you saw the weather here, you're like, I'm heading back to California.
I knew I'd made the right move about 12 years ago.
Yeah. California kid with Midwestern roots. I like you already, David. All right, in the limited time we got, let's talk youth sports. That's what our show's all about. And first of all, Dave, real quick, describe to people. I know it's been around for a while. You do some great things. But who and or what is the Positive Coaching Alliance?
Sure. Positive Coaching Alliance is a nonprofit founded at Stanford University in 1998. The mission is to transform youth sports so sports can transform youth. The idea is that sports provides an unlimited amount of life lessons for kids if the coaches, the parents, the program administrators that are involved in organized youth sports can focus on the opportunity to teach life lessons. We're online at www.positivecoach.org, and we've got a number of live workshops and online workshops that we provide for coaches, parents, administrators, and high school student-athletes.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you guys do clinics for coaches? Is there publications? The vehicle upon which you get the word out to these various coaches?
Yeah, all of the above. For example, in Chicago, we've got partnerships with probably more than 100 schools or youth sports organizations.
Mm-hmm.
I know, John, we work closely with a buddy of yours named Carl Costello at Niles North High School, which we just gave an award to called our Honoring the Game Award for the outstanding work that that Carl is doing in his community to help, again, set up sports for high school ages and younger as an educational experience. So, yeah, in these partnerships, we have a coaches clinic. It's not so much a clinic. It's certainly not about X's and O's and skills and drills. It's about how do you get the most out of youth athletes while helping those youth athletes get the most out of their sporting experience
mm-hmm.
on the field and off. So we do these nationwide. We've got offices in a dozen cities around the country. Again, we've got them online, a coach course and a parent course that are online, and pretty soon we'll have up a course for high school student athletes. We publish books. The founder and executive director of our organization, Jim Thompson, has got a number of books out, most recently The High School Sports Parent, and you know, a number of others, Positive Coaching, The Double Goal Coach, which is the trademark model of coaching that we espouse in these workshops. Double goal refers to the goal of winning, of course, but the second more important goal of teaching life lessons through sports. We've got Phil Jackson as our national spokesperson, and he appears in public service announcements. So we also do a lot of advocating in the media.
You said
and,
Phil Jackson?
Social media.
The okay. coach, Phil Jackson?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Phil
mm-hmm.
Jackson. He
okay.
led your local club to a couple of championships, I guess.
Try six. But, yeah. But, David, I had a thought, too, that, you know, and it's very interesting what you're saying about, you know, the way that you guys have written books about how, you know, how to help parents coach their kids and all that sort of thing. But, you know, what have you noticed from your research that youth sports are as much about sort of coaching the parents as it is coaching the kids? Because I feel like one of the, you know, the great things about youth sports is the kids' passion, but sometimes the parents take that passion a little too far. So how much of it is controlling the parents as much as it is the kids?
Well, that's part of the reason that we have a parent course to begin with. The parents, obviously, they get excited about their individual kids' performance, their development as an athlete, and, you know, just the sort of excitement that any parent naturally feels for his or her kids, wanting them to do the best they can to be a shining star in whatever environment they're in. But that obviously often conflicts with notions of team and community that are necessary for that on-field success to occur and for the social and emotional benefits of sports to take hold.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely, parents are a critical component. Our whole notion of partnership, as I mentioned, that 100-plus partnerships we've got in the Chicago area and you know, 1,000-plus all over the country, the reason that we assemble these the way we do, where we've got courses for coaches, courses for parents, courses for administrators, is that we need all of them to be on the same page for all of the leadership and every constituency in the organization to mm-hmm. agree out loud in a room where you've got a Positive Coaching Alliance facilitator in that workshop saying, yes, we are committed to making sports a positive character-building experience for the kids in our community. And once you've said that out loud in a group of your peers, whether as parents or as coaches or what have you, it's a lot easier to actually execute that on the field and make sure that you're giving appropriate messaging to the yeah. youth athletes you're supposed to be serving.
And it's easy to make that experience positive and for the parents to be positive when the team is winning. See, I love the double goal concept. Now, a guy like my partner here, Jordan, probably a little bit more resistant to it, you know, a little bit more all about winning. But the double goal, I think, very much the gist of what Positive Coaching Alliance is all about. Now, David, I ask you again, with a winning team, the parents are, you know, happy, the coaches are happy, the players are happy. From your research, from your observation, and by the way, we invite people to call in, ask Dave questions, comments here on some of the things we're talking about. 888-463-6748 or email us at ysfanforum.com. David, what can the coach do or parents do with a team that is losing to still make that experience in the end a positive and fun one for the kids?
One of the major principles that we have and teach in these workshops and books and everything is called redefining winner. Obviously, there's a winner and a loser on the scoreboard at every sporting event.
Yep.
But you cannot consider yourself a loser, and parents and coaches should not consider their teams losers if the kids are doing several things. One, expending maximum effort. Mm-hmm. Two, learning from their experiences. And three, learning how to recover from mistakes. We use a lot of acronyms in our workshops. The acronym that I just mentioned is called ELM. We call it the ELM tree of mastery of your sport. E for effort, L for learning, M for mistakes. If you put out as much as you can, if you learn from your experience, and if you bounce back from your mistakes, mm-hmm. you've done everything you can do as an athlete. And coaches and parents need to recognize, especially at younger ages of athletic competition, that there's just so much that kids can't control in terms of yeah. weather, officiating, the opponents. I mean, I coach a seventh grade basketball team, and the community I'm in, we just happen to have a lot of short kids, and, you know, we get out-rebounded a lot. Uh-huh. That's all there is to it. There's nothing, I can't help the kids grow physically, but I can certainly help them grow mentally and emotionally, and that's what I
game. Can I give you an acronym for the kids?
Yeah.
I advocate the PBBO. The PBBO. It's called the pushback box out. And I tell the kids, you know, to physically push the guy back. And I emphasize with teams I coach, not foul. Play hard defense, play under control, don't foul. But I will tell them this. There's one foul. I tell them this in the beginning of the season. There's one foul, Dave, I tell the kids, where if you make that foul, I might just stand up and applaud. And can anybody figure out what that is? None of the kids can figure out what. I said, if you get called for boxing out too hard, now, not an elbow throw, nothing dirty. But if you get called for boxing out too hard, that's one foul that I might stand up and applaud. So there's an acronym for you, might help you. PBBO, the push back box out. You can't just be in position. You got to physically push back a taller kid so he comes over the back. The coach and me is coming out here.
You sound all fired up. I'm glad to hear
it. Now, David Jacobson, Positive Coaching Alliance, joining us for a short time here on the Youth Sports Fan Forum. We appreciate it. Dave, and you mentioned trying to make, you know, everybody can't be on a winning team. You lose the score. You're not necessarily a loser. Kids that are injured, kids that can't play, boy, that's the toughest thing. I think, and I've coached some kids now, and I've seen some on some youth sports teams just recently that I've talked to, and those kids find out that, you know what, losing is not the worst thing. Losing's not the worst. The worst thing is not being able to compete. When you're injured and you're an athlete and you got to sit and watch, that's the toughest thing. So maybe the kids that are hurt, they've got a better perspective. You know, losing isn't as bad as not being able to compete.
That's a very interesting point and perspective. And we've actually done some work both in our workshop curriculum and in our publications that talks about how to keep injured kids involved in the team.
Yep.
You know, there's always a need for scorekeepers, for statisticians, for, you know, equipment managers, all those sorts of functions that can keep the kid benefiting, again, from the social and emotional aspects mm-hmm. of being on a sports team and becoming a coach on the bench occasionally, if appropriate, saying to the coach, hey, I noticed this or that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe he knows his buddy from hanging out in the schoolyard that, hey, you know, Timmy just is not matched up with that kid. You know, there's a lot that kids can contribute to the betterment of the team, even if they are injured.
All right.
It's actually interesting that you say that because when I was younger, I got injured during a season in which my team...
You were always in the trainer's room. They finally kicked you out.
Well, no, my team won the championship, and I didn't get to play in the tournament because I injured my elbow and I couldn't throw. And so...
Baseball.
Yeah, on a baseball team. And so what our coaches did was, I'm sure that they rigged it, but they set it up so that I was... Well, they had to pick two kids to play in the All-Star game afterwards, and they were going to take all the kids from different teams around the league. They put me as one of the All-Stars, so I got to be on the All-Star team, and I ran the bases. Mm-hmm. You know, I couldn't obviously hit or pitch or throw, but I could, you know, pinch run, and that was how they got me into the game. So mm-hmm. I think that's it. That is important because it's very difficult to be on a team where you feel like everyone else is having fun and you're not.
Yep.
And so I really feel like that's an important aspect of it. I thought that was a good point.
Just to stay involved. Hey, Dave, real quick before we let you go, I'll put you on the spot. A little bit of recent vintage. Some new things from, again, from your observation, from your research at the Positive Coaching Alliance. Maybe one positive thing that has happened of late in youth sports and one new negative that has creeped in. Again, I hate to put you on the spot, but is there something, again, of recent vintage that sticks out as a positive and maybe one is kind of a new problem in youth sports?
The new problem is easy, and it's really highlighted by some of the college coaching activities that we've seen of late between Mangino and Leach and Levitt. The focus on concussions and the lack of medical training and the win-at-all-cost mentality that would cause a youth coach, let alone a college coach, to put a kid in danger when he's had a head injury. And you know, the days of shake it off and, oh, you got your bell rung, get back out there and, and show us what you're made of, those days have got to go.
That's a great point. And I think, at least in this area, there's been a major change. I'm not saying it's perfect, but at least here in the Midwest, that has been addressed. Hopefully that's going on countrywide.
Yeah, and on the positive tip, I think it's mostly just an awareness that there's so much more to youth sports, and we're pushing this through our own social movement, through our own, again, publications, workshops, our website at positivecoach.org. And people are getting the idea now that youth sports, at least organized youth sports in this country, has swung too far toward a win-at-all-cost mentality, too far toward the profiteering of, quote-unquote, elite club sports, and, you know, the pressures that are put on kids through that and to pursue scholarships when they don't have snowball's chance in hell of achieving that. There's a recognition that it's time for the pendulum to swing back in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Great stuff. David, that's exactly the philosophy that we're trying to promote here on our Youth Sports Fan Forum. They only give us an hour to do so, so we got to wrap it up. But we really appreciate your taking the time out, an old Chicago guy living out in California. And again, for our folks, the best way to check out, I'm assuming, is the website where all the materials and information there. It's positivecoach.org. Did I get that correct?
Yeah, that's perfect. Thanks so much.
Beautiful. Yeah, clinics, thanks. Clinics and coaching clinics. If there's a community out there that would like to start a program, that's something you guys could provide.
Oh, absolutely. Would love to do so. And hopefully it's fairly easy to figure that out from our website, how to go about that.
Beautiful. All right.
Great. There's a tab down there called Bring Positive Coaching to Your Community. We'll welcome anybody who clicks there, and we'll get things going for you.
More importantly, are you still rooting for the Cub, Bear, Bull, Blackhawk, or have you gone California on us?
No, it's all those. I'm not much of a hockey guy, to be honest with you, but the other three,
all right.
Absolutely. You should see the Cubs shrine I'm surrounded by right now. I've got my cards from the 70s, Fergie Jenkins, Ernie Banks, Billy Williams, and my special secret favorite, Joe Pepitone.
Oh, wow. You still got your Chicago sports roots.
Absolutely.
Now I even love you more. All right, David. Thanks.
we'll
get you back out of the near future.
Thanks, David.
All right, David Jacobson, Positive Coaching Alliance. The double goal. See, I love that concept. It's not just, and I know it's a tough one to overcome, and it sounds good in theory. In practice, I don't care if it's house league or a super competitive travel team. The winning gene is in almost all of us.
It is.
But the double goal, the idea of the scoreboard, that's one goal, but then there's a secondary goal to make it a positive experience, win, lose, draw.
Right. I mean, I think that it's a hard thing because you want kids to want to win. I think that sometimes parents go too far the other way where they get all sappy and they say it's just about the... No, I mean, you want kids to want to have some competitive
fire.
That's a good lesson to teach. You want kids to be able to want to succeed. Mm-hmm. And you don't want them to be complacent, because I think that when you say losing is okay, it's almost being complacent.
Yep.
You know, but I think that you also want the kids to remember to be good sports, you know, to be mm-hmm. humble when you win, and, you know, appreciative of the other team when you lose. And to, you know, to be, those lessons are good. But, you know, I think that the double goal mentality really feeds into that. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good lesson.
All right. We'll talk more about it next Thursday, too. Every Thursday here, folks, we'll do it. The Youth Sports Fan Forum. Again, our webpage is ysfanforum.com. I want to thank our producer, David Olson. Jordan, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Coach.
We'll do it again next Thursday. Don't forget, every 10 o'clock Central Time, we do a show every day called Two Guys and a Mic. So make sure you tune in for that. Have a great day, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us.